Hello again, Sifu Sylvain Chamberlain with you here. We're about to discuss the third part, or third video, on the closing sutra of the Threefold Lotus Sutra. I think we'll finish today. Really, really important part of this closing kind of summarizes the entirety of Buddhism. If you're new to Buddhism, or if you're trying to explain Buddhism to somebody who's non-initiated, non-studied, not, doesn't understand, doesn't know anything about Buddhism, or thinks they do, but it's misinformation, and you want to put them on the right path of thinking to get them in tuned with what Buddhism is, whether they're going to practice or not, even people who don't practice, we want them to be aware of what Buddhism is and what it really is, and so they can at least support us as friends or allies instead of being misinformed and see us with a dubious eye or lump us in with religions and so forth. So before I start, let's do Sancho. Starting off well. Nam myo ho renge kyo nam myo ho renge kyo nam myo ho renge kyo nam. Thank you very much. So, I was rereading this morning in preparation and discussed some things with someone else I know here, a practitioner. There's a tremendous amount of information in this final chapter. And sorry, I'm not trying to be rude. It's just that, oops, wrong book. I'll be right back. Chant in the meantime. Namo myo ho renge kyo, namo myo ho renge kyo, namo myo ho renge kyo. All right, see if I can edit that out. So, there's a lot about reflection here. And as we've discussed before, as I've discussed with you before, life is a series of discrete moments, like a line is a series of discrete points. And as we know, points have no substance. They're just locations. And therefore, lines are just a stream, a locus of locations. I want you to keep reminding yourself of that, because that is what we're truly experiencing. That is what life is. A series of locations, if you will, experiences. Locations experienced are not tangible things. Even touching this tangible thing is a series of experiences of what I perceive. They're not real in the sense that they are permanent in any way. They are fleeting. They arise and they will fade away, dissipate. Everything is like that. Thoughts are like that. Thoughts are life. So, when we talk about reflection in Buddhism, we talk about this this hanging on, this attachment, this craving, this, there are a lot of different words used for it, but there's this transference of experience from one moment to the next. We call it memory. And we assign all sorts of different levels and words of importance to it. But The fact of the matter is, as you reflect upon it, you will come to the conclusion that all of this fetish of memory that we have is non-extant. It no longer exists. It only persists because of our attachment to it, because of our constant reinstantiation of it. And you know your memories change over time. Why is that? Because every time we reinstantiate it in every moment, we do so with a new filter of that moment. So over time, our memories either fade away to nothing or change or become something completely other, abstract. They're only feeding our attachment and our desire to hang on to and make things permanent. They simply are not. But in Buddhism, we can use these kind of devices. These are skillful devices, skillful means. So reflection in Buddhism is about using those memories, those attachments, to kind of look at the record we've made of the way we've navigated our karma. Have we completely succumbed to our monkey mind, our karma, our energies, or have we risen above them and seen them for what they are, impermanent, momentary experiences that we can observe with compassion, with laughter, with nothing too exorbitant, but appreciate the experience of life, and further to experience that experience of life as the opportunity to experience what we're now experiencing is this observational consciousness, the Buddha mind, detached, unaffected, awestruck by the amazing process of it all. This is Buddhism, folks. As simple as it is, the simplicity decries its complexity to understand. The only reason it's complex is because we're so inundated by our attachments, right? Without them, we wouldn't have a problem. We'd see it directly. That is why we practice daily. So here we go. After the extinction of the Buddha, if his disciples faithfully follow the Buddha's words and practice reflection, it should be known that they are doing the work of universal sage. In other words, this is our bodhisattva practice in order to realize our detachment. Those who do the work of universal sage neither see evil characteristics nor experience retribution from evil actions. Why? There's no longer any fear. There's no longer any demon. There's no longer any golden chalice. All of that is the result of this attachment to things, to wanting permanence. So when you detach from it, all of those emotions, all of those contortions of existence, of experience, they just disappear. They dissipate because they were never real to begin with. They were impositions we put on ourselves because of our desires, cravings, attachments. Okay, I really want you to see through the hyperbole here, because it's fundamentally important that we modern folk who can understand deeply the psychology of being human can see that this 2,600-year-old text was speaking to people who didn't have the capacities we do. We can see through this. We can get the meaning of Buddha's words much more readily, much more easily, if we step out of the way, take our delusions out of the way. If there are living beings who show respect to the Buddha, in all 10 directions, 6 times night and day, recite the Great Vehicle Sutras, and think about the profound first principle of the teaching of emptiness, in the time it takes to snap one's fingers, they will rid themselves of the sins of life and death committed during hundreds of myriads of thousands of billions of eons. What does that mean? We've talked about Ichin and Sanzen, the 3,000 realms in the single moment, the energies that form us, karma. The energies that form us are extant without time. When he talks about myriads of thousands of billions of eons, that's what he's talking about. The energies that form us form our experiences. They go all the way back to potential. Just a subtly vibrating, immeasurable mass of energy, without form, without instantiation, just twinkling. Anyone who does this work truly is a child of the Buddha, born from the Buddhas. The Buddha in all directions and bodhisattvas will become their teachers. Such people will be said to be perfect in bodhisattva precepts. Without going through any special ceremony, they will become accomplished naturally and be worthy of receiving offerings from all human and heavenly beings. That right there is the reason I constantly remind all of us that to be a monk, to be a bodhisattva, to be an excellent Buddhist, does not require a special ceremony. It doesn't require some specially imbued person in a specially imbued building. It doesn't involve all of these rites and rituals and other things. We can do those things. They're there to entertain us as humans. They have nothing to do with our Buddha nature. They have only to do with our human attachments. So don't give them too much importance. There's only one thing that's important, two things. I would say one thing because I see them both together, but let's treat them as distinct. Study. Recitation. Study and contemplation. Concentrate on the meaning. Reflection. That's it. The more effort you put in, the more you get out. The more effort you put in, the more understanding, clarity, awareness, awakening you accomplish. There's no magic formula. If followers then want to perfect themselves in bodhisattva precepts, they should live in an open, quiet place and, putting their palms together, show respect to the Buddhas in all directions, reflect on their misinterpretations, their errors, their memories, right? And confess their own errors. In other words, realize your own influences from your own karma. After this, in a calm place, they should speak to the Buddhas in all directions in this way. The Buddhas, the world-honored ones, are always alive in this world because of hindrances due to my actions in the past. Even though I have complete confidence in the expansive teachings, I cannot clearly see Buddha. This is when you're practicing and you're trying to achieve your own Buddha awakening, but your monkey mind, it's hard to let go of the monkey. It's always there. It's constantly there. You're not going to kill it off. But you're going to remove your attachment from it. You're going to let it, you're going to take over driving, navigating, piloting the ship of your life. Now I take refuge in the Buddhas. I know Buddha awareness is there, always has been there, is mine to reveal. I take refuge in that. Shakyamuni Buddha, truly enlightened, world-honored one, I beg you to just be my teacher. Manjushri, great compassionate one, I beg you to use your wisdom to instruct me in the pure teachings of Bodhisattvas. Maitreya Bodhisattva, son of superior and great kindness. Son spelled with a U. Out of sympathy for me, you should listen to my plea to receive the teaching of Bodhisattvas. Don't like that translation much. It sounds a little too much like prayer. You're not going to receive Buddhahood from somewhere, something, someone else. It's all yours. So this is a conversation to the self. This is a conversation to the monkey mind. Maitreya Bodhisattva, son of blah, 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 Buddhas in all directions, reveal yourselves and testify for me. Great Bodhisattvas, superior and great leaders, since we extol your names, protect all living beings, help and protect us. Today I have received and embraced the sutras of the expansive teachings, even if I should lose my life, fall into purgatory, and suffer endlessly. I would never harm or slander the true Dharma of the Buddhas. Therefore, Shakyamuni Buddha, for this reason and the power of this blessing, be my teacher now. Manjushri, be my educator. Maitreya of the world to come, I beg you to instruct me in the Dharma. Buddhas in all directions, I beg you to teach me true wisdom. Bodhisattvas of great virtue, I beg you to be my companions. Due to the profound and mysterious meaning of the Great Vehicle Sutras, I now take refuge in the Buddha, take refuge in the Dharma, take refuge in the monastic community or Sangha. This should be said three times. Having taken refuge in the three treasures, one should next vow to receive the six kinds of teachings. Having received the six kinds of teachings, one should then diligently observe noble practices without obstruction, and aspiring to save all living beings, receive the eight kinds of teaching. Having made such a vow in an open, quiet place, one should burn rare incense, spread flowers, make offerings to all the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and Sutras of the great vehicle, the expansive teaching, and should say, today I have aspired to awakening. May the blessings from this save all the living. Having said this, followers should once again bow their heads before all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and think of the meaning of the expansive teaching. For a day or for 3 weeks, whether a monastic or a lay person, they will not need a teacher, nor need to resort to a master, nor need a special ritual. There it is again. Due to the power of receiving and embracing, reading and reciting the Great Vehicle Sutras, and because of Universal Sage Bodhisattva's work of helping others, one can become the eyes of the true Dharma of the Buddhas in all directions. And with this Dharma, naturally be able to take on the five-part Dharma body, precepts, concentration, wisdom, liberation, and insight into liberation. The Buddha Tathagatas have been born of this Dharma and have received assurance of becoming Buddhas from the Great Vehicle Sutras. Well, there it is. There it is in a nutshell. This is what I keep telling you. You want to achieve your Buddha wisdom? It's going to require tremendous internal focus. Watch your mind at work. Watch the monkey mind. Watch the way your memories form your present. Watch the way you've behaved and responded to the monkeys rather than your enlightenment. Forgive yourself for that. In other words, understand what happened. Learn how to live your mind above it, not let it affect you. Over time, that exercise will detach you more and more from those screaming little monkeys, and your mind will continue to come up with all of these fanciful, crazy ideas about permanence, hanging on, desire, craving, all of it. But you'll be able to rise above that noise. You will be able to allow yourself to laugh at your own silliness, Laugh at your human nature. Be entertained by it. Be amazed by it. Be awestruck by it. And more, your mind will become more expansive, more understanding, see the world completely differently. You feel much more secure. Fear will remove itself. You won't need it. And eventually, you'll just feel your life will be lived more and more in awe. Because as you understand yourself, so too will you understand all the people around you. And then when you come to the three treasures and you take refuge in that mental state, Buddha, and you take refuge in the teaching of how to get to Buddha, the Dharma. And the third, the monastic community, the Sangha, it's all the other humans on the planet. You are, in effect, practicing this exercise of getting to your higher mind state within the greater population of planet Earth. You have almost 8 billion living beings. You are a part of, intimately, by your understanding, the energy of your life passing through the exact same thing they are. Your observation of them, your example of your behavior changing and how you are around them, whether or not you teach them, you are teaching them simply by your own experience. Of course, the more effort you make in that regard, the faster you will gain insight, you will gain detachment, and you will affect a greater number of the Sangha. This is the formula. Don't need a teacher. In strictly, you don't need to follow anyone but your own insight. The teachings are your teacher. Your concentration is your teacher. That's your bodhisattva. That's bodhisattva superior practices. That's bodhisattva universal sage. That's bodhisattva universal virtue. Whatever you want to call it. That's that aspect of you that you're still, that we still need to label because we're still humans. And that's the way we identify things is with labels. And at some point, labels will also be meaningless. So as you've already read, the Dharma is empty. The Buddha is empty. Everything is empty. So even though you take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, they're all empty. The refuge is empty. But we need to keep ourselves motivated because we are in samsara. We are in this conditioned space with our karma, our tendencies, our energy, our momentum. And so to experience our true Buddha nature, to be removed from that momentum and observe it rather than be swept away by it, the irony is we need to be in it in order to distinguish it from it. So the duality in the final analysis is our ticket out. It's our ticket to Buddhism, to Buddhahood, to Buddha wisdom. And when we, like Shakyamuni, become extinct, have no longer this conditioned karmic consciousness, and we expire, then there will be no need to observe. There won't be anything to observe because all of that was an illusion anyway. But we will have had the experience of samsara in which to inculcate the amazing nature of the process of life as it manifests and dissipates throughout potential. How incredibly precious and rare it is to get this glimpse. That then we can see this lifetime instead of a series of endurances and sufferings as this very rare and therefore precious opportunity to experience this life, this samsara, this condition, as a very eye-opening and beautiful thing. Beautiful beyond measure. Beautiful like the descriptions of hyperbole here, of gold trumpeting trees and jewels. And how do we ascribe value to experience? For this reason, wise ones suppose a Sravaka violates the threefold refuge, or breaks the five precepts, the eight precepts, or the precepts of monks, nuns, male novices, female novices, or advanced female novices, or fails to act in a dignified way, or because one is ignorant, bad, evil, fails to keep many precepts and rules of dignified behavior. If one wants to be rid of this dis-ease and return to being a monk and fulfilling the dharma of mendicants, one should diligently read the sutras of the expansive teaching, think about the profound first principle of the teaching of emptiness, and bring this wisdom about emptiness into one's heart and mind. There we are again. No matter where you are in life. I know many Buddhists, including myself, that got very enthusiastic for the first year, 2 years, some month, and then for whatever reason slipped away. I always kept the practice going, but my determination waned until enough experience came along and I experienced what I needed to in order to reinvest myself in this effort, because it is an effort and there is a payoff. Some people aren't ready to observe that, and it's very difficult for some. But you can always get back to it. How? Study. It's all on you. There's nobody else who's going to confer this on you. No amount of praying for somebody to help you is going to work. Ultimately, any prayer or meditation is about your own mental development. This isn't arrogance. It's just plain fact. Who grows old in your body? Other people don't come up and put age into you. You do that. It's the way the process works. It should be known that with each of his thoughts, such a person will gradually exhaust the defilements of all his long-standing sins or errors, with none remaining. This is called being perfect in the teachings and precepts of mendicants and fulfilling their dignified behavior. Such a person should receive offerings from all people and heavenly beings. So this puts credence to a thought that I've often had even before I was a Buddhist, that this is something that's disappeared from our contemporary culture, and it's sad, but there used to be a great deal of reverence given to older folks, the elderly, the elders. Because there was a recognition that just simply lasting through time was quite an education in how to be a good human. And plenty of examples as to how your life would be shortened greatly if you weren't a good human. So we intrinsically know good and bad, life affirming, life unaffirming. We know. So this is dignity. Do you behave as a human being in a way that affirms life? That's dignity. Right? So, suppose a layman acts in an undignified way and does bad things. To do bad things means to point out the errors and faults in the so-called Buddha's teachings, to discuss criminal evil things done by the four groups, and to feel no shame even from theft or debauchery. If one wants to repent or reflect and be rid of these errors, one should diligently read and recite the sutras of the expansive teachings and think about their first principle. Because if you do this, you'll see the errors and the misconduct. You'll be embarrassed by it. You'll repentance, as the word is used here, which I don't like, is really a sadness that you incur upon yourself for realizing your own flaws and your own. What are your flaws? You're being run by the monkeys. Instead of your mind running the boat, your monkeys are running the boat, and you're letting them. And that's embarrassing, and that hurts, and it causes all kinds of other problems and sufferings. There it is. There it is. All of suffering is created this way. And if you read, you recite, chant, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, this realization will just come to you because it's already there. You're taking a squeegee to a muddy window. Yeah. Suppose a king, minister, a Brahmin, an ordinary citizen, an elder, a government official, any such kind of person, never tiring of indulgently seeking after things, right? Greed. Commits the five wicked errors, slanders the sutras of the expansive teachings, or commits the 10 evil acts. The retribution for these great evils will make them fall into evil paths faster than the sudden appearance of a rainstorm. Surely they will fall into the lowest purgatory. If they want to rid themselves of these hindrances due to actions in their past and destroy them, they should experience shame and repent for all their sins. What is repentance? It's reflection. One day, I truly, truly desire, I don't know, I hope he survives it, but I truly, truly hope that people like Donald Trump and the people he's put into the offices there and others that surround him and those that support him, I say this with a very heavy heart, when the day comes, not if, when the day comes, that they truly reflect on their behavior. I do not envy them their suffering, but I hope they have the strength. I really hope they have the strength to discover this teaching. To discover that they've been completely ruled by their monkey mind and that their happiness awaits. They too are part of the Buddha. Can we reach out to them? Will you be the one to connect with them? It only takes one connection. To make them curious, to make them want to know what precious jewels you have that they have not yet amassed, what will attract them? Perhaps their greed will be the way in. I only illustrate this because I want you to deeply understand. We all spend way too much time judging ourselves. It's far easier to judge others and just leave that there. That's why I point to this huge example, because we do the same things to ourselves. We don't need to. We can rise above that. That judgment is base. That judgment is not dignified, because it speaks only to the lower worlds, the monkeys, samsara. It doesn't speak to the tremendous potential we can experience while in samsara, which is the great gift, jewel, knowledge, dignity of life. The Buddha said, what is the teaching of reflection for kshatriyas and citizens? The teaching of reflection for kshatriyas and citizens is that they should always have proper minds and hearts, not slander the three treasures, not hinder monks, and not make trouble for those observing noble practices. Now, this is the core of, if you want to explain Buddhism, understand this. They should practice concentrating on the teachings of six thoughts. They should also support, make offerings to, and definitely honor those who embrace the great vehicle. And for those of you who are doing that for me, please, I thank you so much, beyond measure. You, in so doing, demand from me that I stay the course of my own dignity. Thank you. They should also support, make offerings. They should also remember the profound teaching of the sutras and the first principle of emptiness. Anyone who thinks of this teachings practices the first reflection of kshatriyas and citizens. The second reflection is to fulfill one's filial duties to one's fathers and mothers, and to respect one's teachers and seniors. Anyone who does this is practicing the teaching of the second reflection. The third reflection is to govern one's country with the true Dharma and not oppress the people unjustly. Anyone who does this is practicing the third reflection. So this is about governance. The fourth reflection is to issue an order within one's region to hold the 6 days of fasting and, to the extent of their powers, have non-killing practiced. Anyone who does this is practicing the fourth reflection, respect for life. The fifth reflection is simply to believe deeply that events have causes and results. Believe in the way of one truth and know that the Buddhas never disappear. Anyone who does this is practicing the fifth reflection. Then the Buddha said to Ananda, in the future, when anyone studies and puts into practice these teachings of reflection, you should know that that person has put on the robes of humility, is helped and protected by Buddhas, and before long will attain supreme awakening. That's all of us. As these words were spoken, 10,000 children of heaven acquired the purity of the eyes of the Dharma, and all the great bodhisattvas, Maitreya bodhisattvas, and others, and Ananda too, hearing the Buddha preach, rejoiced and acted accordingly. So that's it. Now you're a master, teacher, monk. Go forth and behave. Continue working on your own self-perception. With that perception, you don't even have to try. You will see others differently. With that perception, they will see you differently. With that perception, you will awaken. You will attain enlightenment. You will become a fully attained bodhisattva living this life in the Buddha way. Study, recite, chant, get a Gohanzen. I made them very available. Again, they don't need to come from a special institution. This is a digital copy of an actually Nichiren-inscribed Gohanzen, right at the source. Not some tertiary priest, not somebody who claims authority because they just happen to be around when somebody else taught them. All of that lineage. The only lineage you should be concerned with is scholarship. Scholarship about understanding the teachings, the great expansive teachings. All of the answers, all of the methods, all of the innumerable skillful means, they're all in there, waiting to be discovered by you in your specific way and in your innumerable mind, incalculably amazed and intelligent and dignified, to discover in your own karmic stream detachment, observation, appreciation, compassion. It's all there. It's already there. By reading the teachings, by immersing yourself in them, by studying broadly, so you're not just narrowly awakened, but expansively awakened, your life will change. It will grow. It will calm. It will be amazing. And as a result, your vision will be amazing too. Because you'll see with the Dharma eye, you'll hear with the Dharma ears, you'll think with the Dharma mind, you'll see the... Have you ever traveled? You just go to one other city for a couple of months and come back. Your life has changed forever. The world looks different. That's what the teachings provide you. This is what being a monk is about. It's about being a diligent student. This is the way to enlightenment. It doesn't require a special building. It doesn't require a lineage of people. They're sangha. They're others. Respect them. They're trying too, but they're human, and they get caught up in labels and hierarchies and who can tell who what and who's right and who's wrong. There's only one person who's right and wrong, and that's you. And you know. And you'll know more the more you study. And the more insight you gain. It will humble you. I guarantee it. To whatever effect, I am your teacher. I am your teacher because I am part of the Sangha that you're in. We were conjoined this way because our karmas fit. And so the greatest service I can do for you and for myself, my dignity, is to be absolutely, honestly me. I don't want to color anything I say with an attitude of arrogance or an attitude of, I know you don't. I'm just me. I'm a diligent student of Buddhism. Have been for a long time. And I got to the point where I couldn't just know this anymore or know this for myself. I had to share it because I knew that the way that I knew this would touch other people's hearts and minds. We're not that different. And somewhere, one of these videos, one of these things I post, my website, the things that I say, the way that I say them, this is my life's dignity. And I desperately want it. I want friends. I want other people. I want like-minded people. I want us all to be in our Buddha state, our Buddha mind, as much as possible. It's the only hope that we have to keep this samsaric opportunity alive. Because whether you notice it or not, the world is getting really, really dangerous. And unless we convince enough people of the dignity of life, there are those poised to simply annihilate it, just for the hilarious reason that they did it first. That's so beyond ridiculous, but that's the world we live in today. And I can't stop it from happening alone. I can't stop it happening with guns. I can't stop it happening by going and lighting myself on fire on the White House lawn. Those are all violent actions with no dignity. The only way I can do it is by talking to you, and hopefully you'll talk to others, and hopefully those others will find me, and they'll say, wow, you know, this, I connected with this guy, and it's not about me, do you understand? It's about spreading this Buddha dignity to everybody. Everybody has the potential to reveal it in themselves. And the more of us reveal it to ourselves and maintain our dignity, the more we'll influence our friends, our family, our society, our communities, our larger society. The more votes will change, the more influence will change. It's the trickle-up economy, the real economy. I say this with all sincerity, even though I know these words are spoken by many and they tend to turn rather plastic over time, but I truly, truly, deeply feel you, need you. Because for me, there are moments when I think, if it's just me, this is the refuge I take in the Sangha. You. You're listening. You're belonging to this thinking. Teach me. That's why I ask you to ask me questions. I need to know you're out there. You're thinking. You're growing. To me, there is no greater expression of love, whatever you want to. It's a weird word. So thank you. And with that, I'm going to stop myself. I'm starting to sound a little touched. I want to do Sancho with you and close this lecture series. And I need your ideas on what I need to speak about next. What's still gnawing at you? What term is it that's just eluding you? What is it that you're missing? What is it that you're getting but you want more information about? What is it that you hope you can get from me that will assist you in your path, in your mission, to your dignity and your Buddha mind? Let me know. I want to talk about those things. I want to research those things, not just for you, but for me, because we're all doing this together. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo Namu Myoho Renge Kyo Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you so much. I appreciate you greatly. If it's within your means, please support me on my patreon.com/TLK. Your support is extremely important and meaningful to me, because doing this is my purpose. It's my only purpose in life. Everything else I do is just human entertainment. So, thank you. And see you soon. Bye-bye.